All right, so two ways to go about this. You can be passive, or you can be proactive. You can sit back and let me do all the work and all the heavy lifting, and that's cool. I'm fine with that. In fact, I'm more than happy to do it. They pay me to do it. Or if you want to be a part of the process, you could be a little more aggressive, a little more assertive. Try to get your ass up in here and make a difference. Elevate the conversation. Totally up to you. You have a telephone number you can use. You can hit me up on social media or even go old school and email the program. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All of that, I've got more thoughts on the NFL weekend, but right now I do want to talk some more college ball. Another wild weekend in the college ranks. We are joined right now by somebody who covers college football and on top of that, all barbecue-related issues for The Athletic. In other words, he is a two-sport star. He is host of the Andy Staples Show. He is a friend of the program. He is, in fact, Andy Staples. Andy, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. Can I still fax the show like we did in college?
Is that the best thing? Yeah, man, that'd be great if you were to fax the show. Can you imagine me hovering over a fax machine like, hurry up, man, hurry up, hurry up.
I feel like National Signing Day.
Dude, that was the best. That was the best. Did you ever fax this show back in the day?
I never faxed the show, though. I worked with a guy at the college paper who had many, many molten takes, was a devoted daily listener, and I am sure he squeezed off a fax or two from the Independent Florida Alligators fax machine.
You know he did, especially if he had molten takes. I love that. So whatever happened to that guy? What's he do now?
He runs a paint store.
Okay, good. Excellent. Andy Staples joining us. I like that. There was actually a fax machine back in the day. It's a great pull. All right, Andy, so Northwestern lost. Ohio State's game was canceled. Let me start right there. How tough a weekend was that for the Big Ten and their hopes for a team in the college football playoff?
It was really tough. And look, we don't know what the committee will do. Ohio State could not play another game, and if the committee decides they're one of the four best teams, they'll put them in. But I have a hard time seeing it happen if Ohio State doesn't get a chance to play for the Big Ten title, doesn't really get a chance to play again. You know, the way it works is you got to play six games to qualify for the Big Ten title game. They're at four. They play Michigan State this weekend. They canceled their Illinois game. And I think it was with the hope that they could save the Michigan State game and the Michigan game. Well, now Michigan has paused. So even if you play Michigan State, you may not be able to play Michigan next week. So that's, you may not get to six. And if you don't, I mean, I don't know. If you're 5-0, is that good enough? Have you shown enough? It's hard to say because the best team they played was Indiana. They beat them. It wasn't a particularly impressive victory. It's definitely the most mortal Ohio State has looked. But then, do you think they'd beat Texas A&M? Do you think they'd beat, let's say, Notre Dame loses to Clemson in the ACC title game? Do you think they'd beat Alabama if they lose to Florida in the SEC title game? And that's the question they'll ask.
How do you think they answer that? For instance, I mean, what if they don't play Michigan State this weekend? Or what if they do and they don't get to six games? I mean, could you see the committee putting them in over, say, an undefeated Cincinnati or a one-loss A&M team?
I could see them doing it over the undefeated Cincinnati. The one-loss A&M is another story because, you know, look at A&M's last four games. They just beat LSU. They're going to play Auburn this week. They've got Tennessee, and they've also got Ole Miss. LSU, Auburn, and Ole Miss probably are as good as any non-Indiana team on Ohio State's schedule. So you beat those teams, and oh, by the way, you also beat Florida and won everything else except for the game against the team that everybody thinks is number one. It's going to be really hard to not pick that team over the team that only played four or five games.
Right. Andy Staples joining us right now. Now, what about Michigan, right? Michigan beats Minnesota. Andy, to open up their season, there's this talk that we found our quarterback, Joe Milton. Then they lose three straight. Then they beat Rutgers in triple OT. Then there was talk that they had found their quarterback in Cade McNamara. Then they lose to 0-5 Penn State at home. I mean, what exactly has happened in Ann Arbor? Where did it go all wrong?
I don't know if it necessarily has gone all wrong because a lot of this is this year and very weird circumstances. And Penn State's bad too because I wouldn't say things have gone wrong at Penn State, and they're bad this year too. But I don't think Jim Harbaugh is the guy long term. I think it's run its course. You tried it, and he's coached at the end of this season 6 of his 7 years of his contract. You're no closer to beating Ohio State than you were when you started. In fact, you're quite a bit farther away. And it doesn't feel like there's any sort of forward momentum at all in the program. And they have to figure out, because he has 1 year left on his contract after this, do you want to extend him and keep doing this, or do you want to try something else? And I think they're probably going to have to try something else.
All right, so it, like, for instance, the Detroit Lions, if they were to hire Jim Harbaugh, you know, big if, but if they were to hire him, that would solve a lot of problems for the Michigan Wolverines. Would that solve a lot of problems, though, for the Lions?
Well, here's my thing with Harbaugh. If you look at when he was at his best, and that's at Stanford, and that's with the 49ers, Greg Roman was his offensive coordinator. And Greg Roman, currently John's offensive coordinator at Baltimore, you know, built an offense around Lamar Jackson. Question is, could Jim pry Roman away from John? Because if that happens, if you get Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman with the Lions, you know what? You may have a shot. But it feels like Roman was his secret sauce.
Could you imagine poaching your brother for a staffer who is that important? That'd be like the best thing ever, the most Harbaugh thing ever.
Isn't that every Harbaugh family story you ever heard, like the Thanksgiving Day football where they're trying to kill each other?
Right.
Of course they would do that.
That'd be the best thing ever. I really do hope that happens. We're talking to Annie Staples. Annie, so what about Texas as an example? I'm just jumping around here. But Texas started the year 2-0. Then they dropped two straight. Then they come back to win three straight, including a win over number 6, Oklahoma State. Then they blow a 10-point lead in the second half against Iowa State. Now, the Cyclones are a good team. They've got a really good coach in Matt Campbell. But how bad of a loss was that for Texas and Tom Herman? Not just that they lost, but how they lost.
Oh, it was a terrible loss. And the clock management down the stretch was not great. He's getting killed for a couple decisions that I didn't think were that bad, like the going forward on fourth down with Sam Ellinger, who is, you know, a quarterback with thighs the size of a defensive tackle. Yeah, I'll take him on fourth and inches. But the throwing a couple times when you got a milk clock and you can't give them the ball back. I mean, some of the things they did just didn't make any sense. And my thing is, when you have a game where there's a spot in the Big 12 title on the line, and it's Texas versus Iowa State, I don't care how good the coaching matchup is. Texas should never lose that game, ever. Texas should always be able to out-athlete Iowa State in that situation, because clearly both teams are going to be up for the game. Motivation's not an issue in a game like that. So how do you not, with the more talented team, win that game? How do you not have a more comfortable lead going in? I mean, they were throwing the ball out to Brendan Eagles, who is the kind of athlete that Iowa State can't get. They were throwing the ball up to him the first half. It was unstoppable. They didn't do it that often. They could have kept doing that. I mean, just stuff that doesn't make any sense. And I think that's why the question now is whether Tom Herman's going to be back at Texas.
All right, so what about that? Like, I like Tom Herman, I always have, but I think the point you make is a fair point. Regardless of where Iowa State's ranked, regardless of who their head coach is, if you're Texas, you have to win that game in that situation. So if Herman's got a really hot seat right now, and Harbaugh's got a hot seat right now, if you're Texas or you're Michigan, and you're looking for a new head coach, who do you make the first call to?
Well, I think if you're Texas, the fan base is pushing you to call Urban Meyer. And I don't know if you're going to do that or not. And I also don't know if Urban Meyer wants to get back into coaching. He's very good on TV. The last year at Ohio State, he had the health issues that I'm not sure he wants to repeat, because they happened at Florida. They happened at Ohio State. The Texas job is the same kind of job. So chances are that comes back too. And I'm not sure that's something you want to deal with again. So, you know, you're looking at Matt Campbell, the guy who just beat you, and Michigan, you're going to be looking at him too. You're looking at Mario Cristobal at Oregon. And that's one that I think Michigan should look at, too. The one for Texas I think could be interesting is James Franklin. You know, at Penn State, if you get him last year, he barely has a buyout. But even this year, his buyout is cheaper than Mario Cristobal's. You know, Franklin's is between $4 and $5 million. Cristobal's is $8 million right now. So I think that's one to think about, because Franklin may need to change the scenery, but you know he can build a roster that can compete. You saw him build a Penn State roster to compete with Ohio State. And guess what? If you can build a roster to compete with Ohio State, you can sure as hell build a roster to compete with Oklahoma.
Andy Staples is joining us. Andy also made the point in a piece for The Athletic that Scott Frost was 8-13 when Nebraska announced an extension for him last year. So how does that extension look right now?
not terrible. I mean, I'm not a fan of the emotional extension or the PR extension. And in the case of Frost, it was, hey, recruits, we're behind this guy. He's our guy. Okay, you didn't have to put the school on the hook for $5 million more bucks to do that. There was no need for that. We know you're not going to fire Scott Frost right now. We know he's trying to get a turnaround. But I just think it's silly, and it comes back to bite schools in the butt. That's what happened with Texas. So Tom Herman is a $15 million buyout right now. He would have been a $5 million buyout if they hadn't extended him after Texas won the Sugar Bowl.
All right, so exactly where does that leave Nebraska? For instance, how would you describe Nebraska football in 2020? When I say that, Andy, I don't mean just the current season. I mean the overall trajectory of that program. Where does that leave them? How do you see them now and going forward?
Well, the thing is, it doesn't feel like there's any upward trajectory. And that's the problem, is the rest of the Big Ten West got better when Frost got to Nebraska. That was just coincidence. But unfortunately, it's kept Nebraska from showing much improvement as well. And you kind of figure out where Nebraska's ceiling should be, because I think even the most hardcore Nebraska fan realizes the days of winning multiple national titles, you know, in a row are over. But what should you be if you're Nebraska? And my thinking is you should be Wisconsin. You should be in contention for the Big Ten West title every year. You should win it some years. And every so often, you should have a team that can compete with the champion of the East. And they're just not there. I mean, Wisconsin, Northwestern, those are more consistent programs in that division than they are. And they got a long way to go to get there.
There's no doubt. Andy Staples joining me for a few more moments. Andy, what about Alabama? They thrashed Auburn 42-13 while Nick Saban was at home. I mean, what does that win say about Alabama?
Oh, who needs Nick Saban?
Right.
The program just runs itself.
Right.
I mean, come on. No,
clearly.
It just tells you the machine that Nick Saban has built there. And I think that was a good day for Steve Sarkisian because, you know, he was the acting head coach. He was still calling plays as the OC. And this is a guy who he got fired at USC, issues related to alcoholism, and it was a rough go. And he's been trying to prove, hey, look, I'm healthy. I've changed my life. Things are better now. And guess what? You add this with him being OC of the Falcons before he got to Alabama. He's not only going to be a contender for head coaching jobs in college. I think he might be a contender for head coaching jobs in the NFL after this.
Mm. That'd be fascinating, wouldn't it? I think he absolutely has put himself, his career, and his life back together. And if he were to get an NFL job, that'd really be something. Let me ask you this. You and I always enjoy talking food. And, of course, Thanksgiving is a huge, huge food day. What did you get into this weekend? How did Thanksgiving treat you? How did you approach it?
Oh, it was wonderful. I've been doing this intermittent fasting, so I don't eat until about noon every day. So I was ready to go by Thanksgiving dinner. And I added dirty rice to the sides, which highly underrated side. Everybody in Louisiana does it. Nobody else does. Everybody needs to be doing it. Mac and cheese. Brother-in-law smoked some London broil and did this artichoke dip thing. It was unbelievable. So it was quite a day. And I also did this, which I hadn't done, and I highly recommend this to everyone. You know, I always would go to the turkey and just grab a few pieces of breast, just grab a leg. Grab a leg and dip it in some gravy and eat that thing. That's the way to do your turkey on Thanksgiving.
Well, I didn't even know that was an issue. That's a no-brainer to me. That's the first move. That's the first play. Listen, quickly, I'm really glad you brought this notion of intermittent fasting. Why do you do it? Is it a matter of, well, if I don't eat until noon and I only eat in this window, I'm going to consume fewer calories? Is it about metabolism? I've done it myself, but I don't usually last on it very long. What do you like about it? Why do you do it?
So I've been doing it since late January, and I've lost about 40 pounds, and I'm in better shape than I've ever been in my entire life, and I think it's just the math. I think I just eat less. I think I eat fewer calories. I wish I could say there's some science to it, but I don't think so. I think I just don't eat as often, so I don't eat as many calories, and pants fit better, so I can't complain.
So do you stop like at 8 o'clock at night?
Yeah, I go 8 hours, so I'll go noon to 8. Some days I'll go 11 to 7, and then you know, if I cheated a little bit, I might try to make up for it and go 17 or 18 hours on the fast the next day. And it all seems to regulate itself. And just, you know, if you catch me around 10 a.m. Eastern time, I might be a little surly, but other than that, I'm good.
No, I get that. I get that. Do you eat sensibly between 12 and 8, or if you limit yourself to that window, can you eat whatever the hell you want?
I could for a little while. For about the first 20 pounds I lost, I ate whatever I wanted, but then I had to get a little more sensible. So unless it's, if it's not Thanksgiving Day or anything like that, I'm probably going to try to eat two fairly normal meals, lunch and dinner, and that's about it.
And then finally, 7 days a week, you do it also on the weekends?
I get like one cheat day a month. So I've had breakfast 4 times since January.
Wow, dude. So what do you do on that cheat day?
Biscuits and gravy, no question.
I got you. Andy Staples joining us, breaking it down, all things food-related and college football. He is host of the Andy Staples Show. He covers college football and, as I mentioned, all food items as well for The Athletic. Great job, Andy. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Great job. This seems to me, in terms of intermittent fasting, I agree with him. I think it's the math, right? You consume fewer calories because you eat one less meal. I mean, essentially, you're skipping breakfast, right?
Okay, so I've done the math.
I'm not an authority on this. I'm not going to be one of those guys who says, no. You have to eat breakfast. Or, you know what? Why do you really need to eat breakfast? If you do an intermittent fast and you don't start until 11 or noon. In fact, Hawk, jump in here on me. Adam Hawk is a practitioner of the intermittent fast. I've got a different theory on this. The thing I like best about it, I mean, I like it because you're consuming fewer calories. I actually like the toughness groove that it carves into your brain. I like the discipline involved with not allowing yourself to eat because you are miserable. But where do you come out? What is the benefit to you for intermittent fasting? And are you still doing it?
Yeah, I'm still doing it. I think your body just goes into starvation mode and then it eats up everything that's in there from dinner. You know, it's like the reason breakfast is called breakfast is because you're breaking the fast and then you just prolong that fast out till lunchtime and your body just uses up whatever you have in there. And so it just nukes it. You know, that's what I think it is. I agree with Staples, less calories and then whatever's left, it's going after it, you know?
So you don't eat until usually 11 a.m.
Correct.
All right, but you get here at 5 a.m., so are you miserable?
Yeah, well, I'd say it sucks for us worse than anyone because we're awake during most of the hours that people are still sleeping. So for me and you, it's way harder than other people because we're actually working through it.
But in terms of an intermittent fast, like we can drink water and we can drink coffee.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Zero calories. Go for it.
How about Old Trapper?
Oh, that's the noon snack, and we wreck that stuff, absolutely. Yeah, that's just pure protein. No carbs. It's awesome.
All right. Good man. Appreciate it. So what he said, Andy Staples says he's been doing it since January. And he's lost 40 pounds. You know what? I do it on and off. I think I want to get back on it. I did not do it this morning. I think I want to get back on the intermittent fast. But again, for the two reasons, it's the math and I like what it represents. It's part of the grind. Got to grind it out.
The simple math.
Do the math. 1-800-636-8686. All right, if you're not going to tell me about your weekend, that means either your weekend was not that impressive or you just don't want to share the deets. If you don't tell me about your weekend, I'll tell you about my weekend. We did make a trip down to Del Mar for the first time in a long, long time. Had a great time at the track. Del Mar, man, Del Mar is beautiful. Love the track. The track is a little bit different without any patrons. There were no fans. Just a few horses and a few trainers, and a few owners. My guy Joe Harper, my guy Craig Dato. Had a good time. Saw Gigetta for the first time in about a year. So I want to get into that when we come back. Talk some more football, too. And we're banging telephone calls. 1-800-636-8686. I do need an ATP. Hit me up with a question. More from SoCal when we return.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. All right, with Merrill Guided Investing, you've got the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and a minimum. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/investing goals. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker, dealer, and investment advisor, member SIPC. All right, so let me run down some reaction. I've been stockpiling the reaction. Dear Rome, intermittent fasting is dumb. I go fast all the time. Regards, Rick Pitino. What, you mean like that 40 minutes of hell, that style of ball up and oh, you mean that Italian restaurant thing. Yeah, that's a good one, Francis. War Rich Flores using McFlurries as spackling paste. Hey, Rome. Will never come off the rails. Signed, people that were hit by trains. Casey in New Hampshire. Romy. Dudes drinking mimosas. Very manly. Regards, using a chaser after taking a shot. Ashley in Nebraska.
War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones. Ashley is definitely a top 10 participant. If I had one of those cheesy things that I would do with the show and, you know, set aside the Hall of Fame or power rankings or, you know, whatever, something cheesy like that, she would be in it. She'd be on that list, whatever that cheesy list is. Well, Ashley's good at the game. Way to play the game, Ashley. She plays fast, man. She's good. Hey, Rome. Is the Tebow performance shirt good for showing off my hammer? If so, I'll take one in each color. Size Magnum. The Hammer Shark. All right, so I've got a quick memo to any of you wanting to tweet about Greg Norman, and I've got a memo to you, Hawk. Don't bring me anymore. All right, this whole notion of like Tebow and that he's got a button-down shirt. That's a great shirt because he can wear it on stage, he can wear it in the boardroom, and then he can wear it while he works out and just move back and forth in and out of all these things as a matter of saving time. That doesn't really make any sense to me at all. Like, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network right now, I'm wearing one of my button-down David August shirts. Granted, it's a long-sleeve shirt, but it's a button-down business shirt. You think I'm going to go home and jump on my Peloton and knock out an hour in this same shirt? And then get off that Peloton and then go do a business meeting with my guy Craig Kitchen? Why would I do that? So what is he selling? Like, Tim, what are you saying? How hard is it to take off a shirt and change into another shirt to work out in? Yeah, I don't really understand that concept. Like, why would I wear the same shirt that I'm on TV with to a workout? Or why would I wear a shirt that I worked out in to a boardroom meeting? That's what he's selling. You can wear that same shirt to accomplish all these same things. And for what? To save 5 seconds? To smell like hell? I mean, what's the point? To save time? To save money? You can save money by not buying any deodorant, too, or soap. Man, weird. That's a weird pitch. Hefty. And his long-sleeve, button-down golf shirts thinks that's strange.
Hefty.
Wilson, in the AO, tweets, "Get out of the water, there's a shark." Has a whole new meaning. You're welcome, Greg Norman. Hawk, what did you not understand about what I said? Don't act like those were grandfathered in, dude. Dear Jim, Matt Pat was underprepared, unkempt, and really had no business getting that gig in the first place. Signed, Mike Golick's kid. Brett and Bugaha. Collinsworth's kid didn't want any of that. Look, these guys aren't getting jobs like this because of their last name, I would imagine. Got to have chops. They don't just hand out network gigs or radio gigs. At least I didn't think so. You got to have chops. Yeah, I mean, it helps who you know. Otherwise, you'd see Jake and Logan Rome showing up places, right? Without deserving it. Jaime, regarding Nebraska, Tom Osborne and the 80s are never walking through that door again. Signed, Steve in SA. Right. Wait, was that a straight take? A straight, legitimate take. Nebraska, here would be my concern. What is your advantage? If you're Nebraska right now, what strategic or geographical or schematic advantage do you have right now? And I'm trying hard to think of one, and I don't really see it. See, to me, the bigger problem is, if Scott Frost is not good enough, if a former star who had crazy success in a previous head coaching gig is not good enough and can't turn that program around, who can? Like, where do you go from there? Here's a Nebraska fan. Is a diehard fan. I'm not worried at all still. Scott Frost is trying to repair 2 decades of bad decisions. We are 1 good QB away from being a good team, and us true fans know not to hit the panic button. He's had 2 years and a jacked up COVID season. Our AD Bill Moose said that Frost will not be judged until year 5, and we fans stand by that. Joey in Omaha. I appreciate that. That's a strong, solid take. Omaha! We'll see how it plays out. Jim, at least the Broncos had a good excuse. Signed Raider fan. The hell was that? The hell was that Raider game? How do you get beaten down that badly by the Falcons? I mean, and weren't we all doing a mea culpa on Derek Carr? Like, wow, man, this guy, not only is he much improved, he's back to MVP Carr. This guy's playing some of the best football of his life. These guys are legit. These guys are a team that can not only make the postseason, but do some damage when they get there. The hell they can. Not if they're losing to the Atlanta Falcons. Not only losing to them, but losing to them the way they did. Getting blown the hell out. Fail clown. Lots of Nebraska fans. I like it. Romy, when someone has watched their beloved college football team go from a blue blood program stockpiling conference and national titles to a perennial loser so pathetic that Rex in the ABQ is referring to your head coach as scrotum, is it really necessary to ask that person how they feel? There's not enough booze, Prozac, ibuprofen, and ice in the world to numb the pain. War returning to 1997 and convincing Tom Osborne that his family doesn't want to spend more time with him because he is boring as hell. John and Lincoln. All right, another honest answer. I like that. You got one Nebraska fan saying, man, we're not going to panic. We have a plan. We're working the plan. It's year 2. We're in a COVID year. Scofro is fine. And this guy going, hey, man, we know what it is. We know how it is. We know it's never going to be the way that it used to be. Not even close. We know we peaked in the 90s and early 2000s. And there's not enough booze and pills to numb the pain. Tom Osborne ain't walking through that door. The Peter brothers ain't walking through that door. Tommy Frazier ain't walking through that door. Eric Crouch ain't walking through that door. My guy, Jared Tomich, ain't walking through that door. None of them are. Scofro did. Scofro did. And Rex called him scrotum. Man, I like Scott Frost. I still believe in Scott Frost. I'm not giving up on him. I think that it'll never be the way it was. Obviously. It will never be the way it was. But I'm not giving up on Scott Frost. What I am giving up on is that nickname. Scofro is terrible. I know my guy Lawrence Phillips ain't walking through that door. Take that to the bank. I bet any amount of money in the world that he's not. Of course, he is deceased. I interviewed Lawrence Phillips once. That was an intimidating interview. I've had some intimidating interviews. That was an intimidating interview. And that was long before we knew what we knew. But that was still an intimidating interview. Yeah, but back to Scofro. Any nickname that can easily be turned into scrotum is not a good nickname. And it's not his fault. I'm sure Scott Frost didn't show up and say, hey, are these things on? Are those cameras on? Is that on? Yeah. Everybody, you call me Scofro from now on. I guarantee Scott Frost didn't do that. Some honk dropped that on him without thinking it through. Because if you had thought that through, you would have thought that Scofro could easily be extended into scrotum. It's not something you want. Amon Green ain't walking through that door. I'll tell you that right now. Turner Gill ain't walking through that door. Joel Makovica ain't walking through that door. 1-800-636-8686. And you know me, Nebraska fan. You and I have a long-standing relationship. I'm not lining up to go upside your head. Man, I only want good things to happen to you. But they're not right now. So where does that leave you? That's what I'm asking. All right, when we come back. I like it. We're having a good conversation about a lot of different topics. Use the telephone number. Hit me up on social media at Jim Rome. Or just lay out for this sports update. Here you go. All right, one last segment on this Monday. Good day, fun day. That'll happen when you have a few days off and you have so many good things to talk about coming out of sports or out of a long weekend. Do not hang up if you're on hold. If you're on hold and your name is not Parody Larry, there's a chance you'll get on the air. But first up, the ATP. It is time to answer your Ask the Pros question, where you submit a question to me, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I'm telling you, man, she is the queen. Nobody better at it than Bella B in Calgary. She's at it again. Hi, Jim. Who got you into punk rock? Thanks. Bella B in Calgary. Such a good question, right? How did I first get into punk rock? How would a upper middle class guy from the Valley get into punk rock? Although there were a couple of really good punk rock bands from the Valley. Actually, it didn't happen until I got to college. And it was kind of a confluence of a couple of things. I was not really into it until I got to college. But when I went to college, I went right to the college radio station. So that was alternative rock, college radio. And they made it clear to me that even though I wanted to be in sports, believe it or not, I had an overnight radio program where I was a DJ. And the music director at that time made it clear to me that, no, we're not going to play your music. If you want to be on the air and have a radio program and spin records, you need to learn our music. And at that same time, I ran with a bunch of guys from the dorms that were really into that kind of thing. So when I first got to UC Santa Barbara back in the day, we would listen to bands like the Sex Pistols, ironically enough, the Jam, the Clash. I loved the bands from Georgia, all those bands, R.E.M., Guadalcanal Diary, a lot of the British stuff, English stuff. So I got into it in college, Bella B, because I went to the college radio station and I had to learn that music. And then we listened to it anyway in the dorms. And just never came off it. And then on Friday night, I'll go in the backyard, have an adult beverage, hang out with the kids, and remind them how lucky they are that I listen to good music and not that crap that my old man played. And then they're looking at me, Jake and Logan, like, yeah, Dad, we know. Who told us that last weekend and the weekend before? Dear Rome, you were DJ Jim before Dodger Jim. That's cool. No, I was. I definitely was. Let's see. Here's another one. Hi, Jim. Kyle Brandt guest hosted the show a few times while you were in the basement. Will you ever get a member of the current XR4TI to guest host the show? Signed, Bella B in Calgary. There's the old idiot in the back row with his hand up. No, you had your chance there, Rit. You had one segment. It was a disaster. Mm. How am I going to give you nine? Ambi. Imagine nine segments of Ambi. Yeah, no, Rit. Definitely not. Usually I put Hawk on for a little Q&A. That goes pretty badly. Now, James Kelly has done really well in Big Head Bets. But do we need
9 segments of his deadpan big head takes. He'd be talking about Tubin. He's more of a clone than any of you clones, so no, I can't do that. Gotta leave them wanting more. Once a week is enough for Tubin-loving Big Head. Now, Alvy could do it. The answer is no. Now, Kyle Brandt was a different kind of animal. I knew he could do it. He wanted to do it.
I had a ball.
So the answer is no, Bella. No current existing member of the XR4TI can guest host the show. Okay, let's go to the phones. This guy would stand a better chance than any of the current members of the XR4TI. Let's go to southeastern Wisconsin. Chris, what's going on, Chris? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for the compliment. I hope you had a good holiday.
I did. You?
It was great. Hopefully Silkinson didn't text your wife happy Thanksgiving.
No, he did not.
Great. Hey, listen, Jim. Although my pops passed away much too young 18 years ago, I felt compelled to make this call just for him. The only bad habit he passed down to me as a kid was the curse of being a Chicago Bears fan. What I witnessed last night in Trubisky was just more of the same crap Sandoz the Bears organization has been serving up year after year. I'm sick of the Chicago brass continued futile attempt to brainwash the fan base by insisting Trubisky has the skills to be a quality starting quarterback in the NFL. I'd rather see Jimmy Mack or Cuddy taking snaps. Jim, it is long past time to clean house at Hallis Hall. In 2017, the Pace-Nagy combo had the very rare opportunity and luxury of having the option to draft one of two future franchise quarterbacks. Both Watson and Mahomes had elite college resumes. Take your pick, man. You couldn't lose either way. So, of course, the Bears' genius brain trust trade up in that draft, give up a crap load of picks, only to select a quarterback from a school known for its basketball program. Trubisky only started 8 games in college, Jim, at the University of North Carolina. I guess that was plenty of tape to make a decision that would cement the Bears' future and place it squarely in a dumpster fire. Last night, post-game, Coach Nagy, said he was, quote, fine with Mitch's first interception, which he threw directly into double coverage. Coach Nagy, I hope you're also fine with your team quitting on you and hopefully fine with being an offensive coordinator in Canada somewhere next year. The arrogant and inept Pace Nagy regime must end. How in the hell do you justify those two imbeciles running your franchise? But before you get too excited, Packer fan guy, ponder this. For the last 25 years, the Packers have had the luxury of two of the best quarterbacks to ever sling it in the history of the NFL, yet only one more Lombardi trophy to show for it than the inept Chicago Bears in that same time frame. What an absolute waste of talent. War Hawk dominating sober October, and then kicking down the door in November and burning through so much wizard cabbage, his cat tattoo got a contact buzz. And more Johnny in Texas, allegedly approaching Wilt Chamberlain-like numbers with the ladies. It's a dynasty, clones!
My man, Rackham. I was so concerned. Like, it was a nice change of pace. It was kind of refreshing. Like, Chris coming in here and talking about how his old man passed and paying homage to him. And then saying, yeah, but he did pass one unfavorable trait on to me. And I thought, listen to this guy, man. He's so straight. He's playing it straight. Give me a straight sports take, but showing me another gear. And I like that. But then he reverted to, maybe reverted's the wrong word, because he went back to what he's known best for. Talking smack, running junk, lighting fools on fire, and getting racked. I don't have the numbers, but that's like 17 calls in a row. That guy's been racked. He's undefeated. He's never not been racked. He's been racked every single time that he has called the program. And he did so again. My man, I will see you in the smack off. When we have it. Sometime next summer. 20, like 2021 may not be a return to normalcy. In fact, I'm not sure we're ever going to be normal, whatever normal is, because there is a new normal. The world will never be the same. All of that said, what will be normal about next year, there will be a smack-off. If there is a jungle, there will be a smack-off. Take that to the bank. The smack bank. My thanks to Therese Paler, Jonathan Smith, Andy Staples, Capital One. Huge call brought to you by Capital One. Capital One Shopping. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. Capital One Shopping. What's in your wallet? Savings and available coupons vary. Very happy with that Capital One relationship we have. My thanks to the XR4TI. Yo, dudes, none of you will ever guest host this show. Ever, for any reason. Ever. Like, I could wake up or get into a car wreck on the way in, or we could find out 5 minutes before air, and you still would never get an opportunity. None of you. Not once. Ever. Not on my watch. But good job today, though. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow. We're out.